Welcome to Hour 2 of the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner. 525, we're going to be joined by Stan Weber from the K-State Sports Network to talk some spring football. Very much looking forward to that. You can't be serious at 550. Here in Hour 2 as well. Keep voting on the poll question. Good move, bad move, indifferent for Wichita State to go to the American Athletic Conference. It's been one of the big stories today. Overwhelmingly on the poll right now, 74% say good move for Wichita State to go to the AAC, which would, I think, coincide with what certainly I had to say and what Tyler had to say as well. Only 5% for bad, 21% meh. Keep voting there. You can send questions or comments as well to the game KMAN. Before we get to Bruce Weber and the fan relationship, we're going to examine that here in this opening segment. We closed up shop talking about the Tim Tebow homer, the homer heard around the world, and how it's just everywhere, and we gave the list of things that we would rather hear than Tim Tebow homering. We'd rather hear about all these other things than Tim Tebow homering. One, we got a nice tweet from Derek, who sent me another 38-second video of the Tim Tebow home run. I asked for a hot take in return, and he said, Tebow's ready for the majors. Royals need a bat.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, Royals offense is struggling. I mean, look at it this way, guys. Flawless logic here. Like, the Royals need a bat. They have not scored many runs. They've only scored 5 combined runs this year. Tim Tebow hit a 2-run homer in one swing right there. So if you added Tim Tebow, the Royals are adding 2 runs a game to their offense. That is a fact, and I don't know how anybody could dispute that. So that's where we're at on Tebow now.
This is the one thing that caught my attention about that home run. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the pitcher that he hit it off of, when that pitcher was drafted, he was overall pick number 666 in the MLB draft.
That's not real.
That is a fact.
That can't be real.
Yes, it is. By the San Francisco Giants pick 666. You can look it up.
I actually just read that.
Yes. That is a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe it was that guy from the Reds who Snapchatted himself snorting cocaine.
If you were questioning if there is a higher power involved here, I rest my case.
Hey, well, apparently we're on the wrong side of history here, because I'm going to have to add another thing to the list of things I'd rather hear than Tim Tebow homering. Have to hear about how great that was. And that is, I'd rather hear a caller with the most stereotypical sports talk radio take ever of, how many home runs have you guys hit? What are you doing but sitting here in front of a microphone?
Yeah.
I'd rather hear that. I'd rather hear that, probably, than hear about Tim Tebow homering. Especially from those that will not actually present it on the air. I mean, that's, you know, that's the other part about it.
I would ask if
Mitch over there has just got to try and handle everything.
I would ask if rec league softball home runs counted, but I don't think that any of us three are hitting many of those either.
No. No. I've got zero career rec league home runs. I mean, look, if hitting home runs in single-A baseball is the prerequisite to having a productive life, I mean, I'm done. Like, there's no way that will ever happen. So I guess we're out.
Don't sell yourself short. Anything can happen.
I am going to sell myself short. I will leave you out of it. I'll leave Mitch out of it. Maybe you guys can do something with your lives and hit a homer in single-A baseball at some point in time. But I will not be able to do that. So anyway. All right. Yesterday, Sam Ellinger wrote a really good column, I think, summarizing where K-State basketball is at right now under Bruce Weber. He's won, obviously, enough to be in position to keep his job, but he's not won enough to really win over the fans, and there have been a lot of issues that have kept him from having a very good relationship with the fans overall. And one of the revelations in that, you know, I had some people tweeting at me that there's not anything new in this. Why is it really a big deal? Well, for one, I thought it just hit the nail on the head of where things are at. But I did think it was somewhat newsworthy that he points out that those close to Bruce Weber feel like the relationship with the fans is broken and they worry whether or not it could ever be fixed. So that brings us to this question. And we've had versions of this debate before, but how can you fix the relationship with fans, or can you, period? I guess we have to start there. Can you fix the relationship with fans?
Well, the first thing that you have to do is establish what the definition is of fixing the relationship. Because if it is getting 100% of fans to be on board with you, then no, that cannot happen. There are always going to be, I would say, in the range of 10 to 20% of K-State fans that I don't think under any circumstances would be on board. But if you're talking about winning over that other, you know, 70, 80, 90%. Is it possible? Yes, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's basically how I put it. And how you would do it is by winning big, you know, by finishing like third or fourth in the Big 12 next year, getting at least the round of 32 or Sweet 16. That would get it done. But I don't see it happening because I just don't think K-State has the roster for it.
Well, and I get that. And I'm not even trying to put that to the side.
Okay.
Let's just talk about this from a nuts and bolts standpoint here. Can the relationship be fixed? I mean, to me, the answer is, in general, yes, it absolutely could be. And like you said, there will always be a faction, no matter who you are, there's going to be a faction that will be upset. People will find a way to be upset with anything. We just tried to do a funny segment making fun of an annoying sports story that I think most people realize is just in good fun, and someone has to call and say, hey, what have you guys done? You haven't hit a home run. Like, people will hate on anything. Bill Self loses a game in the Elite Eight, and fans want him fired. So people will find a way to hate on anything. But if you're talking about the majority of the fans, I think there is a big group of fans in the middle that may lean slightly one way or the other on where they're at with Bruce Weber in the program, but that can certainly be swayed by one thing. Wins. Winning. Yes, any relationship between a coach and fan base can be fixed if you win. I mean, it's a bottom line business. It's a bottom line society. Win games, and you're going to win over a lot of those people. You have to win enough games. But we've seen so many examples of coaches who have been able to just either really quickly win over fans or very quickly lose fans just based on one win or one loss, even in the Bill Self example. I mean, he's losing some people, quote-unquote, because he's losing an Elite Eight game there. But if you want a better example that involves more, I would say, rational fans, I thought of the plight that Gary Pinkel faced at Missouri for a while. He goes through 5 years of being between 5-7 and 7-5 and never finishing better than tied for third in the Big 12 North, which was bad at that time. And Missouri fans wanted him run out. Well, year six, he does just enough to keep his job, goes 7-5. They win a bowl game. They're 8-5. And then all of a sudden, the next year, they jump up, win 12 games. And he had four other 10-plus win seasons from that point in time beyond when he was Missouri's head coach. And by the time his health situation came to light and he had to step down at Mizzou, he's a revered figure. Not only did he win a ton of games, but he helped see them through to the SEC and took them to SEC championship games. I mean, he becomes a revered figure. And he was able to repair a relationship with fans that was off to a very rocky start. I mean, they were about – he was teetering right on the edge of being run out with a lot of fan pressure after 4 or 5 years at Mizzou. And that's a similar position to where Bruce Weber is at now. He turned it around. He started to win enough games. Relationship repaired. You're a fool if you think the same couldn't happen here. If he goes the equivalent of 12-2, you know, in a football season, he takes you to the Sweet 16, finishes second in the Big 12 next year. The relationship's going to be repaired with a lot of people.
And at that point, you would have to really feel good about the trajectory from there, because this team that we're talking about next year is going to be filled with juniors and sophomores. It's not like this is the year that you're gearing up for and then it's another rebuild after that. I mean, theoretically, K-State should have a more talented team 2 years from now than they do 1 year from now. So that would, I think, go a long way toward restoring it with the fans, but it's just a totally different conversation how realistic we think that is.
Yeah, you know, everyone wants to make a big deal about the things that are said, the perception that there are a lot of excuses put out there. And, I mean, look, I will tell you, I think there are a lot of times he is his own worst enemy in that regard. But it only just it just adds fuel to the fire when things are not going well. That's not the thing that's going to make or break Bruce Weber with fans. Ultimately, winning games is what's going to make or break Bruce Weber with the fans. That's the type of thing that when you're winning, when you tie for the Big 12 championship, and to me, the most impressive thing he's done at K-State was retool the next year and have the Marcus Foster class that made the tournament. When you're doing that, some of the stuff that people right now will pick at and not like, it becomes, I would say, this probably isn't the best word, but just more cutesy. People can have fun with it when you are winning to the level that they expect you should be winning at.
People did not always hate the play hard chart. I mean, I think that's a great way to look at it. I think that when K-State was winning in that first season and then into the second season, there were those cutesy feature stories that were being written by some of the national columnists about this is how Bruce Weber is winning at K-State. He really values making the extra play, et cetera, et cetera. And the play hard chart was always brought into it. Now, when you're not winning as much, you see fans take everything, you know, sarcastically as it pertains to that. And you see the photoshopped image of a banner hanging in Bramlage Coliseum played the hardest 2017 or something like that.
Well, yeah,
it just turns like that.
Right now, you can't click your mouse on social media anywhere without seeing a play hard chart joke. Yeah, so I would agree. I mean, does a play hard chart really ultimately matter? Like, no, if you're winning games, who cares? But it's something that people will pick out when things are going poorly. So it's not those things. Those things are not the real issue. They don't help, and they make things worse when you are going through some struggles. But that is not the crux of the issue. It all comes down to what Al Davis said. Just win, baby. You win, things will take care of themselves. So maybe this will surprise some people, but I think the relationship is not beyond fixing. It just takes having enough success. And that is the question, and that goes back to what I cut out of this whole debate when you brought it up in the first place, and that is, can they win enough? That I don't know, and that I think is the bigger issue here. But can the relationship be fixed? Yes, it could, if the wins came. We'll take a break here on the game. Coming up later on, we have You Can't Be Serious. We'll celebrate National Beer Day as well. But when we return, how worried should we be about K-State's linebackers with Elijah Lee and company gone? We'll ask Stan Weber, the K-State Sports Network, coming up here on the game.